The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker is Evangelist Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. We're going to ask your attention, please, to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 3, and we shall bring to your attention three distinct musts, and we shall point out just exactly the order of these and to whom they specially apply. However, at the end of chapter 2, there's something very interesting, and it does link up with the third chapter, and I think it's necessary to notice it. And so in chapter 2 and verse 24 we read, Jesus did not commit himself unto them, did not trust them, because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in him. Now, this is what he goes on to tell us after he says, for he knew what was in man. Now, he's given the test, and shall we say, the acid test. However, it is necessary because he demonstrates beyond a shadow of a shade of a doubt that he knows every man, he knows every person. So in chapter 3, he comes in contact with the Nicodemus, and he reveals what he had said in chapter 2, that he knew all men. And then when you come to chapter 4, he meets another person, a woman of a very different character, and then he proceeds to prove to us that he knows and did know what was in her very heart. He knew her actions. He knew her behavior. He knew all about her. And so the same can be said of all who are listening in today and of the speaker. The Lord Jesus Christ knows us all. He knows you. He could call you by name if he so chose to do. And he did that on various occasions when he was here during his public ministry. However, let's proceed to see now something I think very vital as found in chapter 3, and I shall point it out to you. Verse 7 we read, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then in the 30th verse of the same chapter, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now you likely notice that there are three musts in this interesting chapter. We have first of all the sinner's must, and second we have the Savior's must, and then finally we have the saint's must. Now I like the order in which they come before us, because it is true that ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus thrice repeated that statement as found in this wonderful chapter. Now just a word about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a ruler of the Jews. But there was an aching void in his heart, and there was a desire for something that as yet he actually did not know, although perhaps he didn't perceive it. And so in this wonderful third chapter of the Gospel by St. John, we read about this ruler of the Jews and this teacher of the Jews, a master in Israel. He was a most outstanding personage, but it says he came to Jesus by night. Now, let me say that, broadly speaking, every man, every person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him by night. Now, Nicodemus came to him by night literally and spiritually. He was in darkness, and so he came to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ in the darkness. And of course he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, as we said, literally because of fear of the Jews. It meant something for him to come to the blessed Christ of God. And then in his approach when he meets the Savior, he says, we know. But he was not long in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ until he changed that word, we know. Instead of being, as he thought, the teacher, he became the pupil, and he listened to one who knows all things. And as we have pointed out to you, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew exactly what was in the heart of a Nicodemus, and even although he was religious and a teacher of the Jews, he still lacked and had never experienced the must that is essential and was essential in his life and in your life, apart from which you can never enter the portals of glory. And you see, the Lord Jesus himself said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I'm sure the desire on the part of Nicodemus was that he might see, that he might enter into the kingdom of God. Well, the first must then was a must that we all have to face. There isn't a man or a woman of Adam's race who can enter heaven's glory without being born again. Does not make any difference what our past has been, what our past present may be, if we've never faced up to this. If we expect to enter heaven, we must be. Ye must be. It's very personal. Ye must be born again. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ faced Nicodemus with that, I tell you, it was heart-searching, and it brought before him what he had never experienced. And instead of his pretending to know, he said, "How? How can these things?" And so he takes the place of the learner. He takes the place of a pupil. And if you get anywhere with God, you too will have to take that place. You see, we must become, even as little children, we must listen to what He has to say. The way of salvation is clearly revealed in the Word of God, but you must come to Him and hear what He has to say. Now, that was a memorable day in Nicodemus' life history, as there are two other most outstanding passages in this same gospel that clearly indicate that that night, that memorable night, that red letter day in his history, he experienced what is called the new birth. Now, it's very possible that some may have searchings of heart and say, well, just what is exactly meant by being born again, being born from above? Well, you see, when we enter this world, we begin with natural life, and a life that will soon end. But in order to enter the kingdom of God and to be prepared for heaven, you must experience new birth and get new life from above, a life that can never end, a life that is communicated to all who come as sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as personal Savior. I'm so glad and I'm so happy to tell you that in this third chapter of St. John, we have the answer to that question as to how one is born again. One may be born again. Now, we pointed out that there's first the sinner's must, and then the second in verse 14 is the Savior's must, and then on in the same chapter, about verse 30, we have the saint's must, and we'll not likely get down that far. But I do want to point out the must that was in the pathway of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the cross was ever before him. Well, what was the must in his life? Well, let's see. We'll get the answer. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'm sure that Nicodemus was familiar with that Old Testament story. Perhaps he had committed it to memory, and all likelihood he had. But the Lord Jesus said, now that's a picture. That's just a shadow, a type of what will take place in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, where was he lifted up? When was he lifted up? Well, that was at the place we call Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted to the creatures of his hand. He allowed them to do with him what they would, but never forget the divine side of it. You see, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, so that Calvary was not an accident or a tragedy in his life. It was the place of predetermined expiation, the place that he was to accomplish for us eternal redemption and open up an avenue from earth right into the presence of God, so that men and women, boys and girls, could experience the new birth that would fit them for heaven. Now, let me once again remind you that his death was a voluntary death. Even though his enemies were against him, they sought to lay hands upon him, he could have avoided them, but he allowed them, he allowed wicked hands to lay hold upon him and to take him to the very place where he was to be lifted up between the heavens and the earth. But oh, I like his own words. He said, "I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me. I have the authority to lay it down, the authority to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So that when he was on Calvary, lifted up between the heavens and the earth, there to suffer, to bleed, and to die for sin and for sinners, for your sin, it was so that that must in your life could be answered, could be settled once and for all. Now, it could never have been settled. You never could have experienced new birth apart from the must that was in the pathway of the Lord Jesus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then I'll thank God for that next verse, which tells us, you see, this is God's remedy for sin. And all by nature are sinners, all by practice are sinners. But this is God's remedy for sin and for uncleanness. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how I thank God for rich provision as found in Christ to meet my need, to meet the need of every man, so that must in my life could be answered once and for all. And listen, let me say to you, you must be born again. If religion could have done, Nicodemus would never have needed to be born again, for he was religious. He was a teacher of the Jews, a master in Israel. But Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And I say to all my hearers, you must be born again, and can only be born again because the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, was lifted up between the heavens and the earth to die for your guilt and for your sin. And if you would trust him as your own personal Savior, life everlasting would be yours. Believe him, trust him, receive him today. And glad tidings certainly will have reached you in time for all eternity. Now, if we'd like to get a line from you, you can write in care of the station to which you're listening, or to Evangelist John A. Horn, Atchison, Kansas.